Hey,
welcome to season three. Guys, we were so excited to start season three that we forgot to even say that.
Yes. But
it's not because we're not on top of it. It's because we're so excited.
It's because our producer forgot to remind us. So you can blame Jan. Email your complaints at shotofcrime@gmail.com. We're just going to open and close with that. I'm pretty sure we have it at the top. The intro in the middle intros. And the closing.
Yeah, it's that important.
Yep.
But yeah, welcome to season three.
Season three.
Hey, we didn't talk about this before.
What?
So
I'm scared.
We've talked about this and I think we're going to start doing it now. But you should listen to our old podcasts because we're going to start.
Episodes.
Yes, episodes. Because we're going to start removing them every time we post a new one.
Yeah.
So like, we're talking season one.
Yep. So chronologically, start to finish, they're going to start getting replaced, basically. So this episode, season one, episode one, is going to get probably not right away. Like, we'll give you time to listen. Yeah.
Yes.
But we're going to start removing them. So make sure you catch up and listen if you don't want to miss out, because they will disappear.
Yep. Anyway, so on to the episode.
Yeah, catch you on the flippity flop. Hello. Welcome to our show where we talk about the world's greatest football players of all time and their accomplishments.
Where?
On the largest scale, measured by that guy from Friends who shot a bird out of his window.
I'm literally bored already.
I know. Me too. Saying it, I was like so bored.
Yeah, this is not what this show
is. I wasn't even listening to myself.
Imagine somebody started listening to it and like that was the first 10 seconds. They were like, nope.
I mean, it's fine.
Is it?
Yeah. I mean, if they can't stick around for the just kidding. That's fine. What if someone listened and they were like, yes, and then they got to this part and they were really bummed out that it's not just a podcast about football players and their talents. Awkward. And
well, if you did get this far, email us at shotofcrime@gmail.com. and you know what, there's been so much sadness every time we check our emails that I haven't even checked it since last week. So
I kind of just expect there's nothing, but it's okay. I mean, at this point, I kind of get the long con joke of like, they just keep asking and I'm just going to never send an email, but
it's
we'll just
sad.
We'll just keep saying it. And
yeah, you know, no emails. The only emails we have is from Google saying, welcome.
I love Google. It's all good. I mean, I guess you guys are just super boring and don't have good stories to tell us.
Yikes. Well, okay, so I have an interesting story. I wasn't ever going to do this story because I did something very similar to this, but I wanted to talk about it because it's so crazy. But I don't know if you've heard of who, I believe her name is Kelly Turner, but this is a recent story. In 2016, 2017-ish.
Okay.
But this is the same story as, like, the same concept and, like, disorder as Gypsy Rose, where the mom, like...
Ooh, I have not.
She, like, basically said her 7-year-old daughter had a whole bunch of things. The sad thing is, unfortunately, she didn't survive it. And so she, her daughter, a 7-year-old daughter, died in the hospital of just... Like, they can't figure it out.
No.
The biggest reason why they figured out, like, something was wrong is because this happened to her 7-year-old daughter, and then she had another daughter, and she was trying to do the same thing with her. And they were like, what's going on?
Yeah.
And so they exhumed the 7-year-old's body that had passed away and, like, didn't find any diseases, no cancer, like, nothing. Like, there was nothing
That's
wrong
so
with her.
So sad.
I know. And so... I believe the trial and everything is like still kind of happening, but
I haven't heard of that. Was she a single mom?
I don't know. I haven't looked too much into it. I didn't want to do like the full story just because I did something very similar to it.
I would just be curious what the dad had to say if there was a dad. Like,
I don't know. It's they're from Colorado though. She's facing 2 counts of first degree murder.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really sad. I don't see anything about her dad. But yeah, that's horrible. Apparently though, this was, I don't know if Kelly the mom had like, what is it? Munchin by proxy or something like that? Munchausen? Yeah. No, yeah. I don't know if this is the same concept, because a lot of people were saying too, after her 7-year-old died, like she received a bunch of money for like life insurance. And so I don't know if this was more geared towards making money, which would be horrible, or if it was like she thought she was doing the right thing.
Well, and a lot of that is it's attention based. So whether it's your, I mean, because Gypsy Rose's mom got free things too.
And oh yeah.
So it's just kind of like attention and pity and getting stuff.
Yeah. I think Gypsy Rose's mom was more like mentally she thought she was doing the right thing. Like, I don't think she was all there in the head.
Well, I mean, anyone who does that to their kid is not.
Of course.
I don't know. I kind of feel like she played on people. But just from like the little things that I heard of how she was sometimes with Gypsy, like the abuses.
Yeah.
I don't think so. I think she knew what she was doing.
And she kind of played it. She knew what she was doing.
But I think she kind of played up the like, I just want what's best for me. I think she knew exactly what she was doing.
Yikes. Yeah, it's just these stories are so sad. Yeah, and it's so sad to hear stories that like that where it's like this little girl actually passed away because of all the crap that like she was taking and all like the like stuff that they had to do to her when they really didn't have to do with her. That's so sad.
Yeah. That's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a good one. Good opener there. Now that we're all down and depressed.
My bad. This week is Ashley's story. So let's get to it.
Yep. I feel like the energy level between this and our intro is going to be kind of jarring. We did stop to have coffee.
Yeah. I haven't drank mine yet, though. So
I'm a little bit more up there than you. You got to chug. Oh, you have a hot coffee, so that's a little harder to chug.
Wow, that tastes really good.
Yeah, you did a good job.
Thanks.
What does your mug say?
It's a Taylor Swift mug, and it says, "But if I just showed up at your party, would you A, have me, B, want me, or C, tell me to go beep myself?" I thought of that, about actually saying it, and then I was like, you know what? I would have to go back in there and edit it, and I really don't want to do that. So
you want to leave your beep instead of putting in a legit beep? I mean, it works. That's cool. That's cool. It's a cool mug.
Yep.
Ah, Taylor Swift.
Are you coming out with another album or not?
People are stressed.
I'm stressed.
I'm kind of in the seat of, dude, she dropped 2 albums and
but
she's
done...
But there's
so many hints.
There's something going on.
There's something. If it's not a new album of something, I don't know. Yeah, I agree. I think there's something. But it's your story this time.
It is. All right. So have you heard of the story of Kristen Smart?
Who?
Kristen Smart.
Kristen?
Mm-hmm.
Why does that sound...
It's a really, like, known case.
There's a Liz... I know Elizabeth Smart.
Elizabeth Smart, yeah, that's different.
Okay, it's not related. Got it.
Nope. So, Kristen Smart was born in 1977 in West Germany to Stan and Denise Smart. So, I don't think they were originally from Germany. I could be wrong. But their jobs, they were teachers to children of American military personnel. So, I think they lived there to work for the American military, if that makes sense. Kristen had one brother and one sister, and when she was a child, she moved with her family to Stockton, California. She attended and graduated from Lincoln High School in 1995. She worked as a lifeguard and camp counselor at a camp in Hawaii, which is so fun. She enrolled in, I'm sorry if I say this wrong, I think I think I know how to say it, but I feel like I'm just doubting myself. No, it's California. Oh. But she enrolled at California Polytechnic State University.
That sounds accurate.
Right. Or Cal Poly in San Luis Obispo, California in 1996. On Memorial Day weekend, which is always sounded funny to me because you're saying day and then weekend, but Memorial Day weekend. So not Memorial, so not Memorial Day itself, but that weekend.
Got it.
May 25th, 1996, she attended a birthday party for a friend at a fraternity house. Her friends didn't want to attend the party, so they just dropped her off. Her other friends that she was with. I know. I mean, I kind of get it. I kind of feel like I would be like, I'm going to go home and sleep, but you have fun. At approximately 2 a.m., she was found passed out on a neighbor's lawn by two fellow students, Cheryl Anderson and Tim Davis. They had both left the party just a few moments earlier, and they helped Smart to her feet and decided to walk her back to her nearby dorm. Another student from the party, Paul Flores, joined their group and offered to help the two return Smart to her dorm room. Davis departed the group first since he lived off campus and had driven to the party. So he was like, I gotta drive home. Can you guys handle this? Then there was Anderson, who was the second to leave the group. She was going back to her room and she just asked Flores to continue to walk Smart home to her dorm. Since he kind of lived closer to her. So everyone, basically they're going based on proximity. So
yeah, that makes sense.
The first guy lived furthest away. So he left, she left because she had further to go. And then Flores was closer. So, so obviously some stuff, goes down, but they're trying to figure out. The article I read was like, kind of obscure on how they figured out that Kristen Smart disappeared or when that was necessarily filed, but she did disappear. And so it's not clear, like, if there was a missing person, at least from what I remember when I was doing this, what I looked into, it was kind of a slow process, but there's not like a clear day that that happened.
Okay.
So they obviously interviewed Flores and he told police he had walked Smart as far as his dorm and then allowed her to walk back to her dorm by herself. He was kind of like, we were tired, whatever. And that was the last known place that anyone saw her. She didn't have any money or credit cards on her when she went missing. And there was kind of this trend back then. I think it was kind of just trying to get out of work. I don't know. Because missing cases, especially back then, could be kind of hard to solve. But they kind of were slow to look into the situation because there was a lot of girls, I guess, back then that would just randomly go on vacations, like unannounced, at least according to the police. So that was the conclusion they came to. They were like, she probably just went on like a vacation. It's like Memorial Day weekend, whatever. And I don't know. I guess they pointed to that being common, like not like surprise or spontaneous trips. And so,
I mean, I guess when you're young, it's like you don't necessarily plan that stuff.
Yeah. But, so finally they started taking it seriously and volunteers were searching for her. Some of them riding horses, some of them used ground penetrating radar devices. And then there's another note that's interesting. Do you know anything about the Lacey Peterson case?
No.
So they you don't know anything. Oh my goodness. I need to tackle this case. It's a huge case. Like growing up, it was like a big thing.
I don't know.
So I don't want to go too far into it in case I cover it at some point. This case is insane. I don't want to say any. I'm like, there's so many things I'm filtering because I don't want to like, ruin anything. But it's very relevant today because something in the case just happened.
Oh, interesting.
But so the case of Lacey Peterson. I'm trying not to give too much. She went to the same
school
college campus. And there's rumors that the cases were connected.
Oh, interesting.
And so there was this whole overlay, and both of the cases were very sensationalized on TV. And basically, prime suspect in Lacey's case, they were really looking into for Kristen's case.
Oh.
But they were able to clear him and rule him out. So that was a detour in the case that if you watch anything on it, they'll kind of go into the fact that I could say more, but I'm trying not to spoil.
This better be your next story because I'm curious.
Right? It's a huge, like,
interesting.
I that would probably have to be two, maybe three parts. Like, oh, it's wow. A huge case.
Dang.
I would compare it to, like, I mean, as far as money, I'm trying to think of something to compare it to. It just has a lot of details and a lot of, like, contradicting things that you'd have to kind of, you kind of have to get both sides of the story.
Oh.
And it's very interesting. And it's one that people are very divided on.
Interesting.
I would say probably they're divided like 70-30. Like most people think one thing, and then there's a smaller group of people that think the other way. I kind of fall somewhere in the middle. I don't know. But we'll get to it eventually. So Kristen's body was never discovered. She never returned. But they did find... So Paul Flores's mother had people living with her, and one of those people that was living with her at the time found one of what was said to be Kristen Smart's earrings. So it was like a weird thing where she came forward with it. They put it into evidence
in her house.
Yes, in Paul's mother's house, which is weird, but they put it into evidence and then they lost it.
Why?
It just says that it was lost by police.
Oh my gosh.
To be fair, there's things that police lose that I'm like, how do you even lose that? An earring is pretty tiny. Like, I could almost see that more than...
Was it a stud?
It doesn't say. I don't think they have much information on it. Mm-hmm. It's just a random, like, little detail. So between 1996 and 2007, various searches of her remains and other evidence were conducted using cadaver dogs, that were trained to detect scent of human remains, including searching properties owned by the Flores family. No useful leads were found for nearly two decades. So Smart was declared legally dead in May 25th. So it was like the same day in 2005 as in 1996, which is very, they might do that typically. I don't know a ton about like declaring people dead when they're missing, kind of how they approach that.
I didn't know that was a thing. I didn't know you could declare somebody dead.
A lot of times it's to save resources. Like you're like, they kind of just say the odds are this person has passed away, and they still look into, they don't stop investigating, but instead of a missing person case, it's a murder case basically, or
interesting.
Something happened by accident.
I feel like they should do that. Because I don't think you can legally, like, claim that if you don't know.
Right. It's an assumption.
Because there's people that, like, have been kidnapped and missing for, like, over 20 years.
Yep. It's a resource thing. They save resources if they're not looking. Like, the investigation of a missing person is different than...
Yeah, I'm sure.
...of somebody that they think there's foul play.
That must be frustrating, though, for, like, family.
Well, some family want it to be that way because... There's life insurance you can't collect unless they do that.
I wouldn't want to collect life insurance unless they find my, like,
right.
Whoever
Well, here's what some people think. I can see both sides of it. If you were to, you can use that money to try to find her. So some people, that's a good, you know, it's one of those things that it's there's no fun part of it, but, and some people, like, it just helps them kind of, like, accept the fact that this person is probably gone.
Yeah.
I mean, at the end of the day, the worst case is, oh, we were wrong and they're alive and that's awesome.
I know. It's just sad.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't feel like I would ever get that closure because, like, you're pronouncing them dead, but we don't know. Like, I would feel weird as a family member.
Yeah. It's the inverse of saying they disappeared and maybe they're dead.
Yeah.
So there's kind of that... I think that's worse than knowing someone's gone. Like, that in between.
That's what I'm saying. Like,
but it's either way you feel that.
Yeah.
So, Yeah, they declared her legally dead. And yep, it was the 6th anniversary of her disappearance. In 2005, her parents, Denise and Stan Smart, took a civil case of wrongful death against Flores. Civil case is a lot easier to prove. And it's kind of something that a lot of people do if they don't think there's enough evidence to convict someone of murder or whatever, they'll do a civil case. So obviously he was the last one to see her.
Yep.
They were represented by James R. Murphy on a pro bono basis, so he didn't charge them for his work.
That's nice.
Flores denied any involvement in the disappearance, and the Flores family had also filed a lawsuit against the Smart family for emotional distress.
Oh, no. You're like... The parents are already going through so much, and you're filing something for emotional distress. Their daughter's missing.
Yeah.
That's so messed up. It's like, your son was the last person who saw her. You can't be surprised that they're looking into that. That's so annoying.
Yeah. Yep. County Sheriff's Office regularly reviewed the case and spent thousands of hours and dollars during the period of 2011 to 2016. The FBI have her on file as a high priority missing person investigation. So they still have her filed as missing person, even though she's legally declared dead. So that's the thing. What? I don't know a ton. Yeah, I don't know a ton about the process of how... that breaks down, but it is kind of like it's perplexing how it works. There's a reward of $75,000.
Oh shoot.
Yep. For information leading to finding her or resolving the case. And Terry Black, a Delta area man, offered $100,000 reward for Smart's body. So it's probably just someone who's wealthy in the community who wants to put forth money to help. I don't know. It doesn't say if that person knew her family or
interesting.
I'm sure they have some connection. On September 6th, 2016, officials from San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office announced they were investigating a new lead in the case. So this is 2016. This was in 1996. So it's been a long time, but they did announce that. Cadaver dogs from the FBI were brought in, and investigators were preparing to spend approximately 4 days excavating the area on the Cal Poly campus. So after 3 days, items were found at all three dig sites located on the same hillside near Smart's dorm. So they were looking at this land plot near her dorm. A spokesperson for the sheriff's office said the items are being analyzed to see whether they are connected to the case, which could take days, weeks, or months. So they found items, but they didn't know for sure if it was connected. As of 2020, they were still being investigated, but beginning in, September, 2019, musician Chris Lambert released a series of 8 podcast episodes. I was going to actually ask Jan, we didn't even say this, but Jan is our producer is not here. We're having to record when he's, in his office. So, I was going to have him look up the name of the podcast because Wikipedia didn't have it.
I got this.
And I figured I would just throw that at him. But it's Chris Lambert, and it's an 8 podcast episode series on Kristen Smart.
Oh, that's really cool.
Do you see it?
He did it, yeah. I think it's called Your Own Backyard Podcast.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
So the podcast recounts in detail Kristen's probable abduction and subsequent death at the hands of another student on the campus of Cal Poly State University over 24 years ago. The podcast has been downloaded over 6 million times.
Holy cow.
Yep. And renewed public interest led to a new billboard being put up in Ario Grande. Ario Grande.
That's crazy. Ariana Grande should live there.
I feel like that's a common. Yeah. Okay. In January 2020, to replace the original, which had been up since 1997. So they had had a billboard up.
Yeah, that's a while.
And this podcast kind of caused people to really like pay attention again. Mm-hmm. I listened to it a long time ago. I didn't listen to it again before doing this story, but I remember it being really good.
Oh, interesting.
Any podcasts like that are good. Mm-hmm. On January 18th, 2020, the Stockton Record reported that the FBI informed Smart's family that additional news about her disappearance would be coming and that the family, quote, might want to get away for a while, end quote.
Okay.
But they didn't provide any more information. However, on January 22nd, the Record issued a correction. The FBI did not contact the Smart family. Rather, a retired FBI agent who had been in contact with the family for years was the source of the advice. So it's kind of skewed. On January 29th, the San Luis Obispo, Police Department confirmed that two trucks owned by Flores have been taken into evidence. On February 5th, 2020, search warrants were served for, quote, specific items of evidence, end quote, at four different locations. Two in San Luis, one in Washington State, and at a home in Los Angeles County. Flores was briefly detained during the search. On April 22nd, 2020, the Los Angeles Times reported that a search warrant was served at the home of Paul Flores in San Pedro, California. The Los Angeles County Sheriff's Department assisted detectives from San Luis County Sheriff's Department in the search. It was reported that numerous items of interest were successfully found during the search.
Hmm.
The San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Office Department, oh my gosh, Wikipedia keeps repeating the same thing, is now continuing the investigation, but no further public information is available at the time that this was documented. Okay. We do have another update.
Okay.
Those items of interest were, well, not about what exactly the items were, but there is an update on the case.
Okay, got it.
Were included, they included computer towers. What? Items of interest were computer towers, cell phones.
Computer towers are like, you know how the people still use this now, but they have a screen and then it's attached to like a box.
Like a monitor and then like the actual thing.
That's a computer tower. Okay. I'm pretty sure.
Computer towers, cell phones, and electronics decades old. Yeah, because that would make sense because it should be from the 90s.
Yeah, like because people don't really use it. Yeah, computer towers. It's the thing that went on the side.
On February 11th, 2021, KSBY reported.
That's really recent.
Yep, which is why I did this case. They reported that Paul Flores was arrested by the Los Angeles Police Department in Rancho Palos Verdes, California. On suspicion of being a felon in possession of a firearm, which is a felony.
Felon. This is something like different.
I love Wikipedia. A felon in possession of a firearm, which is a felony.
Just to reiterate.
He's a felon because he committed a felony. On March 15th, 2021, a search warrant was issued to search Ruben Flores' home, including the use of cadaver dogs and ground penetrating radar. An older model Volkswagen was towed from the home of Ruben Flores after cadaver dogs searched the vehicle. On April 13th, 2021, Paul Flores and his father, Ruben Flores, were taken into custody by the San Luis Obispo County Sheriff's Department in relation to the case. Paul Flores was charged with murder. Ruben Flores was charged with being an accessory. Investigations later concluded that Paul Flores attempted to rape Smart, although Dan Dow district attorney of the county of San Luis Obispo, has stated that the statute of limitations has expired on a sexual assault charge. But murder committed in the course of rape or attempted rape justified first-degree felony charges, because we understand that murder should have no statute of limitations, but rape apparently should, because the people making the laws probably want to protect themselves if they ever decide to rape someone. Or if their dweeby, scrawny son decides to rape someone. Smart's disappearance and slow response by the campus police resulted in the Kristen Smart Campus Security Act being written and sponsored by State Senator Mike Thompson. And it passed 61-0 by the California State Legislature. And signed into effect by then Governor Pete Wilson on August 19th, 1998. So it was a big change in college campuses that was needed, where they took like campus security a lot more seriously. It took effect on January 1st, 1999, and it requires all public colleges and publicly funded educational institutions to have their security services make agreements with local police departments about reporting cases involving or possibly involving violence against students, including missing students. On April 20th of 2021, it was announced by the prosecutor.
Dang, that was like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, that Kristen's body had been buried beneath the deck of Ruben's home, but had recently been removed. So she was there the entire time.
Holy cow.
Until recently. Biological evidence matching Smart was found by using ground penetrating radar and cadaver dogs. So she was there. And I think the podcast, this is conjecture, but I think the podcast is what caused them to move her body, because there was such an interest in the case.
Yeah.
But they're still like still have to go on trial, like of that course. That's still underway. So we can revisit once we once we know what happens. But I thought it was interesting that it's been so long.
That's crazy. Just shows
like one person decided, I'm going to make a podcast and I have like a following where I feel like people will listen and I want to talk about this case, and you see what happens.
Exactly.
So it shows why you should not, like, I feel like sometimes people are cynical about true crime and like, but it shows why you talk about it, because it brings things to people's minds and it helps them. It jars their memory of like, did I have a connection to this? Like,
and there's millions and millions of like of cases that people don't know about or they don't think about it. Like, there's so much information out there. It's not just like for entertainment. It's like, it's good to have that out there.
And I would say that podcast does a lot better job of like talking about Kristen and her life. Mm-hmm. It was definitely hard to find, like, this is a case where there was so much out there.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And because this isn't a podcast strictly for Kristen Smart. So you have to kind of like weed through. But even Paul Flores, like, there's more information on him as a person. So it definitely is something where I kind of more wanted to point people to that podcast and say, hey, like, learn more about this case before the trial. So then you can watch it and really know kind of.
I've seen her. I'm looking her up now because I wanted to see what
it
she
was
looked
a very like.
Big
case.
I recognize her face. Yeah. I feel like I've seen it before.
Yeah, it was one of those cases where it was constantly circulating the news. Mm-hmm. It was a big case, but that's how it ends. It kind of ends on, we kind of know what happened, but we have to wait for the justice system to decide
what's
going to happen with them. And I can't imagine. That was another thing that struck me, is you have a father who is literally willing to help his son dispose of a body. Like, now, they don't go into how much the dad knew or why they think he knew something, but obviously,
but clearly,
I think what might have happened is he may not have known at the time, but then when things started to resurface, his son might have gone to him and been like, help me move
like
the body.
After.
Mm-hmm. And I think that's why they took the vehicle, because I think that's what they moved her with.
Probably. That's crazy. That's sad.
Yeah.
that also goes to show, like, even though it was a long time, it's like, you can't get away with these things. So just don't do stupid stuff.
Yeah. And I mean, I would say it is extremely hard to do things without leaving some trace of yourself.
Yeah, especially with the technology we have nowadays.
That's what I was going to say. And with the technology now, this is not the reign of like people who could just get away with that stuff. Mm-mm. With like ancestral DNA stuff where people are submitting their DNA and kind of thinking, oh, there's no one in my family I need to worry about. Mm-hmm. Like, you can get caught if it's your second cousin, you know, I think it's definitely a time where people took advantage of the fact that they could get away with that and
technology got better.
Didn't even necessarily have to be super smart about it. No. It just was that we didn't have what we have now.
I can't imagine like back then, like how, not easy, but like they weren't thinking about certain things that could be traced or tests.
What's crazy to me is you have cases today where they lose like vital evidence.
Yeah.
But back then they knew to keep certain things that could be tested. It's like, if they knew that that could one day be important, how do you not get, after seeing all these cases that were solved based on like one thing of evidence?
Oh, yeah.
How do you not get how important this is? Or maybe it's a systems issue where like there's not the proper sustainable system to hold evidence, to take care of evidence, to, like those things should be housed in, evidence should be housed in a way that like, say that whatever it's building it's in sets on fire, it's in some container that is like protected against, like it's,
oh yeah,
it's important.
Yeah. Everything is important. Everything serves a purpose when it comes to like evidence and stuff.
Yeah. And I've never understood either if it's an unsolved case, or like unsolved and maybe they have a main suspect, but they just can't convict yet, whatever the case, not, they'll after a certain amount of time, they'll throw evidence away. And it's like, you don't know, like you could need that. Yeah. And it's crazy to me too, that it's, depending on the area and the jurisdiction, like all of those things is how long they will keep evidence. Like, that should be across the board the same for everyone. Yeah. I don't understand why different departments would have different lengths of time that they keep evidence. Like, so if you end up being murdered somewhere, just because you're, it's like just because you of where you're
they
located.
They spring clean every year.
Sorry, where our building isn't big. Get a bigger building. Yeah. I mean, it's just crazy to me.
Very crazy.
But yeah, that's my story. She was very loved and a happy, fun person. And it's just awful that people.
Yeah, it is.
It's awful that he got away with it for so long.
Oh, yeah. But at least he didn't get away with it forever.
Yeah.
Well, you need to do the Lacey story next. Or else I'm going to like look it up.
And no, do not look it up. I have to.
Yeah, you do it next.
Okay, but I have to really.
Well, my story is next week, so you have 2 weeks.
I also don't, like, guys, I don't know if you're going to agree with me on this one.
Uh-oh.
Like, it is.
Wait, don't tell me your opinion.
I'm not going to until the end, but I will just say, like,
No, don't say it. What are you going to say?
Yeah, no, I'm going to just be really honest when I tell, like, when I do get to my perspective on it. And I do feel like a lot of people are not going to agree with it. And it might be the first time we get emails. People being like, you're an idiot.
Let's do the most controversial thing so that people actually email us.
Okay, cool. but yeah, that's on the list of stories that I'll cover when I have so much spare time, I'll just dive.
All the spare time that we have, you know? We just sit here.
I mean, that case, that's a lot. I would be very like, yeah, I think I could do it. It might have to be a couple parts.
Well, I'm excited for
it. Well, you picked that story for me. Now I have to pick one for you.
Oh. Well, you can't pick a story for me because you would know it.
True. I can pick a theme though.
All right, go for it.
Okay, so I want you to pick a story. Someone's screaming outside. pick a story where okay, I'll give you a loose guideline. So this is something, it could be a crime, it could be a murder.
Okay.
It could be, I don't know. Those are basically the two things we talk about.
Yeah.
Has to be one of those things. Okay. But it's two friends. Two or more friends.
Okay.
So it has to be friend related.
Got it.
It could be one friend doing it to the other friend. It could be two friends doing it to another person.
Another third one. Okay,
but it has to involve friends.
Got it. Okay.
That's your category.
Sounds good.
Sweet. Thanks for listening, guys. And yep. Email us at shotofcrime@gmail.com. If you, I don't know, are just feeling, if you're feeling different, because it's different than what you guys have been doing. You can tell me your preemptive opinion on the Scott the Lacey Peterson case.
Okay, so they're related somehow.
Oh, man. I'm already spoiling things.
No.
You can tell me your take on it and see. Or you can email me articles if there's... Because there's probably... That case probably has some of the biggest articles because also the boom of, like, when media was just, like, in a frenzy. So I would say even more than, like, old serial killers and stuff. There's so many articles on that case.
Oh, interesting.
So if you have a good one, you can email it to me. You can do my work for me. That'd be great. And then if you have one about friends, you can...
Yeah, send it to me and I'll
do
it.
Or if you have, like, a personal story about...
Friends,
send it to us. That would be kind of cool.
Yeah.
I don't know.
If you have a favorite episode of Friends, you can send that to us, too.
We started, full circle, because I talked about, was that in this or was this before we started recording? I talked about the cop from Friends that shoots the bird out of his window.
Oh, that was in our test run of this podcast.
Was it? I thought it was in our intro.
No, that was when we were just testing.
I don't know. I think we have to go back because we were talking about football players.
Yeah, that was that was the second one. The test one was the one where you started talking about it.
Well,
in our mind,
I thought it was in our intro when we were talking about how boring it would be. And then they would skip. I'm pretty sure that was our intro.
I'm telling you it's not.
So what did we talk about in our intro?
You talked about sports and I was like, imagine if somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah. The test one. I was like, this is the poopy poop show.
Yeah, but I was talking about sports because the guy from Friends, remember he was a sportscaster at the restaurant. I'm so confused. Well, you guys all know the answer because you've heard the intro and you're probably screaming at us right now. Like, shut up. I know. But I do want to know if I'm right, what I get.
We'll listen back.
But what do I get?
I don't know.
If I'm right.
Coffee already.
True.
That should be enough.
Cheesecake and coffee happening right now. All right, guys, we need a signing off, like, saying that we say every week.
Because we're always just like, bye.
I have to think about it. I'll get back to you.
Until then.
Also, you can email us your ideas for our signing off.
Yeah, there we go. But until then.
Bye.